The subject today that we are going to speak on this hour is the long title is His New Testament Promises for Us to Trust Our Lives On. But we like to subtitle it just simply Trust God. And before we go into the New Testament promises, Joshua 23:14 reads, Not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. And so our goal this hour is to consider how true this text of Jeremiah is, not one thing hath failed. To see it, we must read the contract fine print, so to speak, the promises of God, and see him through his word. We're going to look at several of these promises. We're going to link them together, and but we won't have time to go through all 110 that way, so we won't be going through the promise book in order necessarily throughout the remainder of the talk after that. Instead, we're going to, after linking some of these together, we're going to then change to a different method of grouping them. And we've come up with seven groups. How God has chosen, the first group, how God has chosen, cares, and works for us. Number two is daily knowing, then daily becoming. And number three, how the promises are related to love. And number four, we just title Amazing but True. And number five, constant conversation with God. And number six, got a moment and daily tasks. And number seven, what God does. Don't worry if you don't have those written down. You'll get them again. So to accommodate the 110 New Testament promises in the promise book, we suggest perhaps you might want to follow along a little bit, find them in the Exceeding Great and Precious Promise book. It'd be faster for you to find them there than looking them up in your Bible. But more importantly, you might want to mark these as you notice that the Lord has helped you find these promises in your life already. For it is this purpose that the Exceeding Great and Precious Promises are given. One more Old Testament. To Israel, the Lord said in Deuteronomy 8, 2 and 3, And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, and whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. So our first New Testament promise, in lieu of the adversary's temptation, misguided application of a scripture to suit his selfish ends, Jesus retells this Deuteronomy text by proclaiming more than literal bread is needed for a man to truly live. Matthew 4:4, our first promise in the New Testament. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. See, we need his words. We need them daily, momently, and absolutely. To the flesh, any admission of this would require a great humbling, or else the selfish would remain shipwrecked in their empty faith and willingly outside of God's bountiful provision of grace. For us who are humbled, not only by the plan of God outlined in his word and the volume of grace he pours upon us, but humbled also by our own insufficiencies, our littleness, by our part assurance, part faith, part reception of the Holy Spirit. Thus and there, Jesus began his discourse of Beatitudes with this encouraging promise, Blessed are the poor in spirit, the humble, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5:3. Already our hearts are living in the abundance of that kingdom by virtue of knowing and beginning to behold that world to come wherein dwelleth righteousness. The melancholy of the mourning heart already is beginning to be comforted. Matthew 5:4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Because all the things that God has promised are becoming apparent and real, and our hope verifiably unashamed. The evidence that wonderful things can be understood and that they are learnable to any that put themselves in the way of acquiescence to the Creator of heaven and earth, the life giver to whom we owe so eternally much, is a blessing of grace, and hence this promise, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Matthew 5:5. What a comfort to know there will be an inheritance left after all that has befallen man. And this salvaged world with all these rescued ones will be our delight to inherit. As saints, we humbly feel our shortcomings and may ask within, why choose me? Am I following faithfully? Oh, may I be filled with his food? Admission from Jesus, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled, Matthew 5:6. Though there have been crises before today, even in our own lives and lifetime, there have never been such a conflagration, so expansive a crisis as now today. It's a crisis of compassion. And our personal walk in the light on this meant to show the way of the Lord. This is why we have His Spirit, to become the needed compassion and the bridge and bridge the gap of hearts, to be truly merciful because of the message of grace given to our hearts. Hence, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Matthew 5:7. The Lord wants our hearts, our wills, to be in His hands, not by force, but by assistance to our necessities of the Spirit, and to fulfill in us the desire to be like Him for the love that He is. He has worked in us to thus do since the day He called us. He has shown to us the way that pure heart, to that pure heart, even though so imperfect. We see with this new heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Matthew 5:8. While people all around us shrink in fear and push through life in a warring way, a troubling way, the Lord has brought peace to us who are in Christ. Our lives are meant to instill peace, the peace of knowing God, what He does, how He works to manifest His will in love. We are ambassadors of Christ's kingdom and living examples of that peaceable realm even now. Brethren, we are harbingers, God's harbingers of peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Matthew 5:9. All that we experience, all that we have been given to use and deal with in life, now coalesces with grace, the grace of God, that has become our help in every time of need. We are now set aside for the Lord's service, and we call this sanctification. While we are set apart by the world, who cannot relate to us, and we call this separation. This apartness relates to this side of the veil only, and tests us and proves us able to walk in the humble way of Jesus, preparing us to be fully sympathetic priests to help the poor world then, as saith the word, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sakes, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Matthew 5:10, 5:11, and 5:12. Our lives are hid in Christ. And like the man Christ Jesus, We have intelligence which the world has no understanding of, neither can they, for they are spiritually discerned things. Yes, we are humbled by our lack of association, the isolation, the hidden nature of the true but secret followers of Jesus. We marvel that we were considered at all for the high calling, and Jesus reminds us, consider the lilies of the field, wherefore God, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Matthew 6:28-30. So that we may know that we are loved, and will continue to be loved of the Father. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:32-33. Walking with Jesus, trusting him, emulating him, believing in him, we next encounter this blessed assurance that this is real. No man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Matthew 11:27. God sent Jesus to deliver us, but also to ready us for the necessary sympathetic heart required. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 18:10. The help needed for our journey is progressively more of God's holy influence. And this means emptying of out self, making room, and then earnestly praying for it. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Luke 11:13. Constancy is necessary on our part, but also manifest on God's part, helping us unravel fear and telling of God's delight in us. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Luke 12:32. Another way we get help is from those instructions granted to the seventh messenger to give meat at the Lord's return. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. Luke 12:37. It is one of the methods God has used to fulfill his promise in John 6:45, they shall all be taught of God. Sometimes we doubt our walk because we feel unworthy. We are unworthy. Own it. It's part of the reason God called. Perhaps we doubt the Father still values us or loves us or cares any more about us. God did not plant those thoughts. Oh no, these come from a nefarious source. So now let's consider these seven parts of the promises that we've divided these into. How God has chosen, cares, and works for us is part one. What we are given is assurances, precious promises that align squarely in front of these hurtful thoughts and give us the real considerations, which may be employed day after day and moment by moment. They are all familiar, but the volume is pumped up when we see these together. You know, we need not warn you that when we look at these, you may notice tears of gratitude, especially when you're in solitude and you're one with the Lord. It's inevitable because the Lord's talking to you. Matthew 10:30, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Matthew 28:20, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. John 15:16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. John 16:27, for the Father himself loveth you. Hebrews 13:5 from the Weymouth translation. God himself has said, I will never, never let go your hand. I will never, never forsake you. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Help us in the way today. Our second grouping, daily knowing, then daily becoming. I changed that title. I had knowing, then becoming. But it's really daily, isn't it? Daily knowing. Put it in. And daily becoming. Apply it. Knowing life and how to live it in a heavenly way is knowledge given by divine power with the aim of bringing us to God hereafter in measurable steps called promises. 2 Peter 1:3-4. He hath given us unto us all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Keep looking at those two texts. 2 Peter 1:3, 2 Peter 1:4, and considering those various parts frequently. For instance, how do the promises help us escape worldly corruption? Experience in the Holy Spirit shows the verity of the Lord's truth, as promised John 7:17. If any man do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Faith is required to receive more of heavenly wisdom, as promised in James 1:5-6. James 1:5-6. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Application of God's things is a gift. We heard and learned, but which we must also perform or do to open the promise of God concerning his peace accompanying us. Philippians 4:9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Truth in our heads must conform our hearts for us to be set free, as promised in John 8:31-32. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The correct steps through life come only by the holy guidance of truth, as promised in John 16:13. When it, the Spirit of truth, is come, it will guide you into all truth, for it shall not speak of itself, but whatsoever it shall hear, that shall it speak, and it will show you things to come. How important it is to be filled with the Lord's words becomes evident at the throne of grace when we're praying. Are we filled with the words of God? And the afterword of our requests, are we praying prayers that the Lord can fulfill? As promised, John 15:7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. So what choices we will make when we hear the Lord's words are the choices of his instructions. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So all these promises are to incrementally gain for us the likeness acceptable to God. We die daily proportionate to emptying self and selfishness from our hearts, receiving moment by moment grace wherever there is room. Wherever there is room, who's responsible for making room? We are. The third grouping, how the promises are related to love. When we see that the loving kindness of God in the Old Testament, from the Hebrew word just said, has a component of mercy or kindness as well as a covenant to do, to perform. In fact, some translators and commentators calling loving kindness steadfast love or constant love and grace, that is the divine influence upon the heart. We ask, how does this come about, this loving kindness contract from the Lord? It must be by means of his promises. Let us see how in the New Testament there are promises relating to love. Praying to God, Jesus made this request to have God's love manifest to the world by opening their eyes to see how he has loved Jesus. John 17:23, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. And later John exclaims in 1 John 3:1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. And Jesus explained keeping the commandment to love one another, if carried out by the disciples, would be a de facto expression of our love for him. John 14:21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. And Jesus also makes this test upon our hearts, this test upon our hearts. John 14:23. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and will come unto him, and make our abode with him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. The further declaration of Jesus is both an acknowledgement of the disciples' love and an encouragement to keep on loving. He said in John 15:9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. And John adds this, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. 1 John 4:12. This next promise recalls the most holy of the tabernacle with its cherubim, love and power, representing love and power, along with wisdom, the Shekinah glory, here designated as a sound mind. You remember 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Almost as though stating the now obvious conclusion in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Then how do we love God? How can we perfect our love for him who has shown us so much of how this is done? John 2:5. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. So keeping our mind stayed on him is another way of echoing 1 John 2:5. Whoso keepeth his word. And this is precisely the point, filling up with his word in order to be perfected in his love. Our fourth grouping is something we called amazing but true. We originally called it conditional hereafter, but I think amazing but true fits very well. It might be logical to see what of God's promises are not attached to here and now, but just hereafter applied. This, of course, is not always a clear distinction in the sacred record, as there are conditions set that gain us the eternal blessings. So look at the requirements. Look at the requirements incumbent upon us to gain the promise. Romans 6:5. If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Romans 6:8. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. Romans 8:17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. And 2:11, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Revelation 3:5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed with white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Revelation 3:12, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Revelation 3:21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I also overcame and had sat down with my Father in his throne. And Revelation 2:17, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. And finally, James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So look at those texts in that grouping and realize the rewards offered in the first few texts of the list. We shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, live with him, glorified together, a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory indeed. What holds us back as we proceed forward? Paul considered this. In his assessment, do we find ours as well? Romans 8:36 through 39. As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The reactions of knowing Jesus, of knowing God, and knowing heavenly love, well, you know, there's no stopping the saint from living it now, no matter the fleshly cost. More of part four of The Amazing But True, showing what is offered shall be. First came the realization of the Lord's call. Amazing, we thought. Me? Then came this flood of what would eventuate in. Here is a small grouping of promises whose purpose is not merely to inform, but to encourage faithfulness and transformation. Only you will know how successful these are in your new heart. John 14:3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. John 16:22, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. 2 Corinthians 5:1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in heavens. Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye shall appear with him in glory. How fervent have we been in claiming these promises? How assured are we in knowing them and owning them? Are we both feet in? Is our focus throughout the day an active conversation with the Lord? Are our hidden faults and our chastening gladly felt at the hands of the Lord? Have our hearts been heavy with thoughts acceptable to Him? Yes, it is amazing. And His help along the way keeps us convinced of the verity of our part in this divine plan. Grouping number 5, the conversation. We are each alone because we are in the flesh and in a love-limited, self-adoring world. At the very same time, we are never alone as a new creature in Christ Jesus, because we are in Christ Jesus, having a conversation with God every moment, moment by moment, all precious because our life is hid with God. We are having a conversation with God, essentially started in a big way by reaching out to us, by calling us. And now we cannot wait to talk to Him. We have needs and He gives hope. Let's take a look at some promises regarding this conversation and how it affects us so. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that ye may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. 1 Peter 3:12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. And John 16:24, ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Perhaps we feel we should have made more progress by now. Perhaps we think of our mistakes as too egregious. If we are thinking along the lines of feeling distance from the Lord, then there is only one thing to do. James 4:8, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. 1 John 1:9 backs this up. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Never forget where the Lord is. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and will sup with him, and he with me. So never close your heart to him. Paul had a great deal of experience with exactly this, and we hear his conclusions as promises from the Lord too. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. So there are consequences to not looking to God, to not having this conversation. However, if we are willing to keep engaged, the blessings will multiply and our treasures will multiply as we thus learn to deposit them daily in heaven. Here we have a caveat. The best part of talking with God is in the listening. In the listening. Group number 6. Got a moment? Got a moment? Question. Got a moment? This is meant to mean like we're in a stupor and the Lord taps us on the shoulder. Got a moment? He says to us. Yea, Lord. Yea, Lord. My all I have promised you. Reminds me of Peter. Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love you. Think about the eternal purpose. Think about God calling you to become His agent in living the changes necessary to love as He loved us. Consider where once was doubt and fear, having now become faith and confidence. Know you are part of something so spectacular. It would not be possible even to dream about something that we should now know burns everything of any fleshly worth to us and replaces these things with the prospect of a heart ready for this next age and eternity that melts away the dross, delighting to do His will. How can we be encouraged more, confident more, helpful more than to consider God's promises and see our present work within by His grace? So hear our part in each of these promises. Hebrews 3:3, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Hebrews 10:35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Hebrews 6:19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enter into that within the veil. 1 Peter 1:5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. 1 John 5:18, we know that whosoever is born or begotten of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. 1 John 5:4, for whosoever is born or begotten of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. 2 Peter 1:10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. 1 John 3:3, and every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Philippians 4:13, finally, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So taking time to be holy means following the scriptures, seeing more than before concerning the will of God and becoming it. So more got a moment promises we might think of as daily tasks. All walking along the narrow path have had blessings, grace poured out, lessons about hearts, especially our own heart, and the part we must engage in to have the Lord's help with our consecrated, sanctified, and enlightened will. Within His promises, there is a litany of things that we must see too, so the Lord may bless us with His everlasting changes within these hearts of ours. Who wouldn't be energized by a term project or a work list or a honey-do list where each item had a benefit attached to its purpose? And exactly to this point are these promises. Hebrews 10:36, for if ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Hebrews 12:6-7, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son that he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth you with you as with sons. Hebrews 13:6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. James 4:6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. 1 Peter 4:12-13, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. 2 Timothy 2:11 and 12. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. And 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 10. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. So know the love, know the purpose, know the Lord to become his eternal testimony. Here we quote reprint 2442. Is there not a wide scope for conversation among Christian people on the subject of the riches of God's grace in Christ Jesus our Lord, expressed in the exceeding great and precious promises of the divine word? In these things we have indeed that which not only ministers grace to the hearer, but which adds also to the grace of the speaker. It showers blessing on every hand, so far as the new creature is concerned, and assists in deadening the old nature with its evil desires, tastes, appetites. Reprint 2442. And our last grouping, number 7, what God does, probably has been doing all along in our consecrated walk. When we consider our relationship with the Lord, we find God's part is much greater than ours. This gives us assurance because as we review and renew these promises of grace gifts for the humble, meek, and grateful hearts, and for the grateful watchers, that these are real, that these are ours. These are all reasons to be diligent, mindful, active before the Lord. Check these promises off if you've already benefited by these covenants of grace. Then use them again and again, starting with one of my very favorites, John 15:2. You might ask, why is this one of your favorites? Because it shows us the hand of the Lord in our lives. John 15:2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You have any purgings lately, brethren? Romans 8:16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? 1 Corinthians 3:21 and 23. For all things are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. 1 Corinthians 10:13. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. 2 Corinthians 6:18. He'll be a father unto us, father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Galatians 3:29. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Philippians 1:6. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Colossians 2:10. Ye are complete in him. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. This is 2 Timothy 2:19. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Hebrews 1:14. Are ye not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister unto For them who shall be heirs of salvation, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Yes. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And finally, Revelation 3:10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation. And here we quote F274. That's the sixth volume, page 274. All the members of the body, united to the head, are to have confidence and look for the fulfillment of his promises. Not listening for the voice of man, but for the voice of the chief shepherd, that they feast upon his words and love them, love to masticate them, to digest them. Such members of the body grow stronger and more rapidly in the Lord and in the power of his might than do others, because more attentive to the Lord's leading and instruction. Again, that's F274, end quote. John 10:3, he called his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Hebrews 3:14, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. So in conclusion, we paraphrase October 7th manna. The hopes built upon the Lord's promises and unaccompanied by works are hopes built upon the sand. On the contrary, those who build with obedience, these shall pass through all the storms of life and shall never be moved, never be shaken, because they are on the foundation, end quote. These are clearly gifts from God, like Christmas every day. What shall we do about such a grand foray into heaven? Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised, Hebrews 10:23. May the name of our Lord be glorified by these words and overruled for your good and upbuilding in Christ our Lord. Amen.